He was trying, he was asking me the question, he says that for a devotee who chants with offenses, I'm trying to remember exactly his question. What is his hope to be able to chant the Krishna's name just once and eradicate all sinful reactions if he's still chanting with offenses? And the point that I explained to him is that through Sangha, by association with devotees, we can actually invoke Krishna's presence in our lives. And though, even though that we still may not be chanting the name purely and completely without offenses, we may actually, by association with another devotee, we may actually be able to invoke Krishna's presence in our life. And the evidence I gave from this was from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Tattva Viveka. We were speaking about from the verse Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam, that there were four different types of persons who approached the Lord. Those who are distressed, those who need money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that as long as a person has these desires in their heart that they want fulfilled, they have no qualification for pure devotional service. But if they obtain the sukriti for pure the way to obtain the sukriti for pure devotional service. And he quotes Jiva Goswami and says, sukriti means association with transcendental personalities which gives rise to an intense desire to serve Krishna. Well, one gets the association with a transcendental personality. It can awaken an intense desire, even if it's only for a moment. And by that intense desire, one gets to sukriti or qualification for pure devotional service. Doesn't mean that he becomes pure devotee. It means he becomes qualified for pure devotional service. It becomes qualified devotional service on the strength of his faith in pure devotional service. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of Gajendra. Gajendra wanted relief from distress. He approached the Lord. And he explains that as long as that desire to become for relief from distress was there within his heart, there's no hope for him to actually to become qualified for bhakti. But he had sukriti. And the sukriti he had was he got the opportunity to associate with the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains elsewhere that there are different types of sukriti. No, actually what he says is there's different types of auspiciousness. He said there are two types of auspiciousness. He said one type of auspiciousness is devotional service. Another type of auspiciousness is pious activities. He said, but in pious activities, there are three types. And that is Bhogan Mukhi Sukriti, Mokshan Mukhi Sukriti, and Bhakshin Mukhi Sukriti. And Srila Prabhupada, in the commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, actually, these first two types of Sukriti are not really auspicious at all. Because Bhogan Mukhi Sukriti means that due to some pious activities, we get bhoga, some enjoyment, some opulence. And Mokshan Mukhi Sukriti means due to pious activities that one actually gets the opportunity to achieve moksha, liberation. But Bhaktyun Mukhi Sukriti means that due to many, many births of pious activities, one gets the opportunity to associate with a devotee. And Prabhupada says that is really the only auspicious Sukriti. Because by the association of devotee, then the desire, intense desire to serve Krishna can be awakened within the heart. So it's either by association with the Lord or with a devotee of the Lord. So Gaujendra got the association of the Lord. The Lord came, relieved his distress, and the desire was no longer there to become relieved from distress. Dhruva Maharaj had a desire for having a kingdom. He wanted opulence. And then he got the association of Narada Muni. And the result of his association of Narada Muni, he became qualified to get the association of the Lord. And the Lord even fulfilled his desires, fulfilled his request. But although the Lord fulfilled his desires and fulfilled his quest, Dhruva Maharaj completely lost his desire for a kingdom. So when he lost his desire for the kingdom, then he became qualified for pure bhakti. And the other example is given of the sages of Naimisharanya. They were acquisitive. And as long as they had the desire to have their inquisitive nature fulfilled, they were not qualified for pure bhakti. But due to their association with Suta Goswami, they lost that desire. And then after they lost that desire, they only wanted to hear about Krishna. And the intense desire to serve Krishna was awakened within their hearts. So the point is that by association, even though we may be chanting with offenses, even though we may not be completely freed from anarthas, if one gets the opportunity to associate with a devotee that awakens an intense desire to chant Krishna's name, then he can immediately eradicate all the reactions to sinful life. then he can immediately eradicate reactions to civil life and become qualified for Shuddha Bhakti. But without becoming freed from those attachments, there can be no qualification. So, this is these are the points I explained to Vishwambar after class. And anyways, he said he before hearing that answer, he felt very helpless. Because he felt like that, what is the hope? If I have attachments, then how can I ever chant purely? And I'm always stuck on that platform, perpetually. But with this understanding, he could understand that actually, no, it's not dependent on him. That there's always hope if he seeks out association. And by association, one can become qualified for bhakti. So these, if one gets association, such types of association, one can also understand that Krishna is responding to his prayers. So, it doesn't mean that Krishna speaks to us. But Krishna brings us into the association of a devotee who speaks the same thing that Krishna says and awakens faith. That's how we can understand Krishna's presence in our life also. That's one question here. How to receive guidance when no one is willing to offer it to us? Is it nobody's willing to offer it to us, or is it that because I'm not qualified to receive it? It could be also that. A person may be thinking nobody's willing to offer it to me because every time I ask for guidance, I always have a different opinion. No, we may think nobody's willing to offer guidance, but the real problem could be is because every time I ask for guidance, I always have a different opinion. And therefore we think, oh, nobody's willing to offer me guidance. We actually have to be qualified hearers also. For guidance to take place, one needs to be willing to be guided. And therefore, both criteria have to be there. The person has to be qualified to guide, and the person who wants to be guided has to be qualified to be guided. And Krishna says, what's the qualification to be guided is pariprasnena sevaya. we have to be willing to render service and to inquire submissively. So if we don't have that type of guidance, then we should look within our own hearts and ask ourselves, what can I do to improve the quality of guidance in my life? And if we see somebody that we think is worthy to approach for guidance, we should first serve them. And if we serve them sincerely, we might find, we might even get the answers without even having to ask them. Right, there's that story which is told, I can't remember his name, the person who went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with some... Yeah, Madhav Mohan something, that's right. Yeah. He went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he wanted him some had a lot of questions he wanted to ask him. He was a very influential person. I think he was the head of a university. I can't remember. And he approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and asked him if he could ask him those questions. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, actually you should go over there and ask the pujari over there who's cleaning the deity paraphernalia. And the man said, but actually you don't understand, only you can answer these questions. I don't think this simple brahmachari can answer my questions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to answer his question. He says, first you go over and you speak to him. So he accepted that instruction and went to the brahmachari, and the brahmachari said, first you should help me clean the paraphernalia. And then he actually helped him clean all the paraphernalia. And then he didn't even ask the question. He went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, so did he answer your question? And he said, yes, all my questions were answered. Thank you very much. So we have to become qualified. Paripashnena sevaya. There has to be a humble, submissive service attitude. And then Krishna will arrange. Remove the obstacles by showing somebody who's willing to guide us. How to properly learn the science of Krishna by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and avoid speculations and any deviations in any other way. Well, the question almost seems to imply that it's just reading Srila Prabhupada's books. That will protect us from avoiding speculation and deviations. But if you just read Srila Prabhupada's books, there's a problem there. Because everywhere in Srila Prabhupada's books he talks about one has to have the association of devotees. So, if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you can't avoid that. It's because it's everywhere in his books. So both have to be there, reading Srila Prabhupada's books and also having the association of devotees. And if one learns how to associate with devotees properly, then he can learn and hear from them how to avoid speculation and deviation. And also he gets the opportunity, if he seeks out the right association, to learn this by seeing others' good example. And the best way is by studying Srila Prabhupada's books together. What time am I supposed to start kirtan? Who? Manu.
Yeah, I told him be on standby if you will be a little late, so he will start. But, you know, usually it's 7:10, 7:15.
That's the starting time. Yeah. And it stops at 8:30.
At 8:30.
They're expecting?
No pressure, but it would be nice.
I have to give initiation also. Does anybody have any quick questions? Huh? Well, I'll determine a quick if it's a quick answer myself. Does anybody have a quick? Yes? Mind is a reservoir for all the ideas for sense gratification. And the mind is, that's how Prabhupada explains, that mind is, business of the mind, of the materialistic mind, is to accept and reject. So, therefore one has to properly engage the mind. And when the mind is properly engaged, then that also cleanses the heart. The heart is where the self is situated. We are eternally situated. We are situated within the heart, the soul. And the soul is covered by material elements, which are mind, intelligence, and false ego. So this mind is simply material element, subtle material element. Whereas we speak about the heart, we speak about the self. And the super self, as we talked about yesterday, who are both situated within the heart. They are not material. The mind is material. It's not that we're talking about the heart that pumps blood. That's not the heart. I mean, the heart pumps blood, but actually, and as we even read yesterday, actually, the verse actually even explained, higher than the life airs is the soul. So the life airs are there within the body. The heart is pumping blood, but that's just a machine. But when we speak about cleaning the heart, it means removing the false ego. Which is the identification with the machine, earth, with the body, the mind, intelligence, and false ego. and become situated in our actual eternal spiritual identity. Some other question?
What are the signs of chanting attentively?
Attentively?
Yes.
What are the signs of chanting attentively?
Symptoms.
Symptom of chanting attentively is your mind is not thinking about anything else. That's the symptom.
I'm talking about after that. You're chanting attentively, and
then what is the, where does that lead us?
Yeah.
Where does the attentive chanting lead us? Is that what your question
yes,
is?
Yes.
Attentive chanting leads to more attentive chanting. Generally, our attentive chanting is only sporadic. But the more you chant attentively, then the more actually you get the fruit of attentive chanting, which is more attentive chanting. More. And then if your chanting becomes more and more attentive, then Chaito Dapana Majana Bhava Mahadevagina Vapana. Cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. So then the real symptom of complete attentive chanting on the platform of with a pure consciousness is what we spoke about 3 days ago. When Haridas Thakur explained, no, liberation and freedom from sinful reactions is not the result. Those are only concomitant byproducts of chanting. The symptom of pure, attentive chanting is ecstatic, loving service to Krishna. And then he quoted the verse from Bhagavatam, where it's 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where the devotee chants and he doesn't care for outsiders, not conscious of outsiders. And he feels a constant ecstatic bliss within his heart. That's the symptom of pure attentive chanting, which makes us realize that we should be looking for more attentive chanting. Because that has to come before the ecstatic. So we should at least make the effort for more attentive chanting.
I'm asking because sometimes I can think that I'm chanting attentively, but that's why I'm asking with the symptoms I'm chanting attentively or not and on my level.
The symptom is that you're not thinking of anything else. Not thinking about breakfast, Pashado. Of course, that's auspicious. If you're thinking about honoring Krishna Prasadam. What time is it? Okay, there's two devotees who are taking initiation tonight. Where are those? Oh, there they are. I don't understand how any. I had to chant on these beads. And it was the most distracted round I ever had in my life. I had to spend more time figuring out how to keep the beads off the floor and unentangled. People actually chant on these? I thought it was weapon. Nimchucks? What do they call them? Nimchucks? Anyways, where is he? I don't see him. Oh, there he is, right there. Oh, there he is, right there. It's does anybody else have beats like this? Madhava Maharaj, this big?
Yeah,
huge.
Huge.
He has to take a second suitcase to carry his beats. Okay.
Should ask to chant another set of beats in his life. He won't be allowed to ask you to chant another set of beats in his life.
All right, why don't you come? Take. What vows are you taking today?
Я обещаю никогда не употреблять в пищу животных, никогда не играть в азартные игры, никогда не заниматься незаконными половыми связями и каждый день на четках повторять Хари Кришна Махамантру. И также каждый день читать книги Шрилы Прабхупады.
Did he say four? No, he said three.
Не принимать никаких интоксикаций.
Спасибо.
16 минимум.
Минимум. Okay. You better pray for strength. Carry these beads every day. All right. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara, I'm accepting you today as my initiated disciple. And we're giving you the name. What name was I giving you? Mukunda Charandas. The lotus feet of Mukunda. Mukunda Charandas. Mana Mohan wants to initiate you. Mahajapamala. Ajamil. Ajamil is going to accept his vows again today. What vows are you taking today? You can speak them in English.
No eating meat, fish, or eggs. No intoxication. No illicit sex, and no gambling, and chanting at least 16 rounds every day.
Thank you. I decided to give you another name. I'm accepting you today on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara as my initiated disciple. And I'm giving you the name Acharya Nishtha Das.
Arima!
Acharya Nishtha Das means one who is firmly convinced in our previous acharyas. Acharya Nishtha Das. Hare Krishna. Huh? What's that? Oh, okay. I'll give you your Gayatri. We can do it tomorrow. Okay? We'll do Gayatri. Huh? You can come in the morning, 10 o'clock. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? I have to go to the temple, no? Yes, I do. I chant it, I don't know. Her name is Rameshri Devi Das. She lost her beats, that's all. Hare Krishna.
Good thing about those big beats is that you lose them, that you feel it. Sometimes you can see.
Uh-huh.